This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we have Jamal, who is such a long-term friend and wonderful person that I've worked with for many years in working online teaching sisters about Islam. And we worked together on Yusuf Esti's website, chatislam.com, many years ago. And so I'm really excited to have her here today to share with you this valuable topic about us having enough time to worship Allah, inshallah. So Jamal, it's so exciting to have you here today. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Catherine?
Good, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So the topic of the summer is all about women putting themselves first. And I'd love to hear from you why you think this is an important topic for us to discuss.
Yeah, well, Catherine, subhanAllah, first of all, in alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa natubu ilayhi wa nussalli wa nussallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, one of the things we have to realize as women is that really how I feel that women, we are like the backbone of the whole family. And we have so many roles and expectations placed upon us. You know, as if we're mothers, we have, you know, so many responsibilities as wives. Even if we're just, even if we're daughters, you know, even single women who have to work, there's so many different responsibilities upon us. And one of the biggest complaints I hear from sisters in general is just not having time for themselves. Like, they just feel so burnt out. So subhanAllah, so many sisters, what they tend to do is, and this even happened to myself, which we'll come to, you know, they're just constantly giving to everybody else. They're giving to their children, they're giving to their husband. If they've got a role outside of the house, they're giving to that role, you know, if they're working. And so what happens is that sooner or later, when they keep doing that and not giving to themselves, they end up completely burning themselves out. And subhanAllah, we have to realize that if we really want to reach a level of excellence, you know, and strive as we want to do for the akhirah, we need to keep refueling ourselves. And one of the main ways to refuel ourselves is by focusing on having time for our ibadah, having time for our worship. If we're not making that time to strengthen ourselves with our ibadah, with our worship, then sooner or later we just collapse, and then we wonder, why is everything going wrong? Why is our life falling apart? So it's so, you know, imperative that we take this time and make sure that's a priority every day. Like, a lot of people don't realize, you know, like we spend so much, we worry so much about our food and our nutrition and in all of these things, subhanAllah, we make sure we get the right, you know, vitamins and these things, but we don't realize that, you know, the body isn't just made up of body. It's also, you're made up of a soul as well. And the thing is that we feed our bodies all year, we forget to feed our souls. And what is the nourishment of the soul? It's ibadah, it's our worship. And you have to ask yourself, how were the companions able to, you know, achieve such great heights in Islam? You know, what? How were they able to leave such amazing legacies behind them? Why? Because they were constantly refueling their iman with all the different types of ibadah that they were doing, acts of worship. So, subhanAllah, this is why sisters have to realize that if you really want to, you know, be able to give and be the righteous wife to your husband, if you want to be a great role model for your children and pass on the love of Islam to your children, if you want to be a community figure and be involved in the community, the only way that you can have the maximum influence on the community and in your different various roles is if you are refueling your iman and looking after yourself to be able to give to others. Inshallah.
Yeah, beautiful point, mashallah. And it is very easy to get so caught up in this dunya and forget, you know, that important element. But we need to look after ourselves in body, mind and soul, not just in body, not just in mind. It's our, yes, our soul as well, alhamdulillah. So you alluded to the fact that you've got a story there about how you learned this the hard way. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, of course. Everybody would love to hear that. So basically, look, subhanAllah, about 10 years ago, you know, like, I had four children. I had also had twins. And I've never had, you know, being a revert, I've never had the family support. So I had to do everything basically on my by myself. And of course, alhamdulillah, like Allah blessed me with a good husband who's also been a great support. But, you know, there's only so much how obviously husbands can do. So I was very overwhelmed. And I also have a role in the community. Like I do teaching, I do dawah. So what basically happened was I was just going through a lot of trials, both inside the house, outside of the house, and all of these different demands that were upon me. And basically what happened was one day I just developed like an anxiety disorder. Yeah, so nobody can understand what it's like to go through anxiety unless they go through it themselves. It's actually a very scary experience. Like basically what happened was I got to a point where I didn't want to leave my bedroom. I didn't want to face my family anymore. I just felt like I couldn't cope. And my heart rate started going out of control. Like it would just be like on a very high level. And I actually, at one stage, a few times I thought I was having a heart attack and I couldn't sleep at night because it just would constantly, like, what's the word? Like, it's just the palpitations were so rapid that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't sleep at all. So it was a really scary state to go through. And subhanAllah, what happened was that basically I got this, you know, meditation tape. It had no music on it, it's just like a psychologist talking and he's saying, the first words he said, he just basically said, this is your time now. When I heard those words, I started to cry. And I thought, do I have time? Like, am I allowed to have time? I didn't realize that I'm allowed to have time for myself. And that's one thing I hadn't been doing. I've been so busy, you know, stressing out, trying to do everything for the family, you know, teaching my children and then outside doing dawah, that I totally had forgotten to give to myself. And the worst thing is, I'll be honest with you, as a teacher, it's even worse because you're not allowed to be weak. You're not allowed to go through stress or, you know, if you fall, people question you, like, how could you of all people go through anxiety? You're supposed to have all this iman. And, you know, so it's even worse. Like if you think people judge you when you're going through a hard time and say, where's your iman? It's even worse if you're a teacher. You're not allowed to be weak. You have to always be strong. You know what I mean? You're not allowed to have any downfalls. You know what I'm trying to say? So that's why I learned, I made a promise to myself that I'm not going to let this happen to myself ever again. You know, that I know I learned the hard way that in order for me to really have maximum impact, you know, whether it's on my children or in, you know, my family or outside the house, I need to have that. I need to be able to give to myself. I need that time for myself. It's really important. And all my classes know that, you know, when school holidays come, that's my family time. You know, I'm very careful about the way I prioritize my life. Like people look at me and think, oh, how are you doing all these lessons and how are you doing all these? Well, yes, I do. But then I also have times where I just slow right down and I just, you know, quieten down and I just have that family time. I really need that time to refuel myself and have that time for just ibadah and, you know, focusing on my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so important to have that time. Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're talking to us about today, isn't it? It's about factoring in time for ibadah and the fact that we get so many sisters saying that, I don't have time to worship Allah. I don't have time to read Quran. I don't have time to do the sunnah prayers. I don't have the energy or the time to fast the sunnah fast or even make up my fast from last Ramadan. I would love to hear what you've got to tell us and what advice you have for us in that way.
Yeah, so basically, it really comes a lot to do with time management in a lot of ways. We have to set priorities for ourselves. We have to realize there are certain things that we need to achieve every day. Just like you don't forget to eat. You don't forget to eat in the morning. You don't forget your lunch. The same thing. Just like your body needs those certain times of eating, your soul needs your certain prayers that you say, the five prayers, that's something that you cannot compromise. You know, you have to have your prayers in order. In order for you to feel strong in your faith, and to be recharge yourself properly, the first thing you have to pay attention to are your five prayers, praying your Fajr prayer on time. And you have to organize your life around your prayers. The biggest mistake I see sisters doing is they basically try to just you know, fit their prayers wherever they can around their life. And this is the biggest mistake, because they end up missing their prayers, and they feel like when you go to bed at night and you haven't prayed your prayers on time, how do you feel? You feel like you haven't achieved, you know, you feel like you're failing, like it doesn't give you a good feeling. But yet, on the other hand, when you do get your prayers in order, you start to feel like your life is falling into place. You know, you feel like your life is in order. So that's the first thing, you know, you start with your FUD and getting your priorities in order, and not compromising with that. It's not something you can compromise. So that's the first thing. And then besides that, you have to realize that, as I said before, you know, you need to have that time to nourish your soul. So it's very important for sisters to have some, what you could call, quiet, reflective time in some time of their day. Now, it depends on your schedule. Now, some sisters are morning people, so maybe for them it's going to be after Fajr before all the, you know, kids wake up. So it's just important to have that quiet, reflective time. Now, what I mean by quiet, reflective time, even Shaykh al-Islam, even Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he speaks about having quiet, reflective time. And he talks about the importance of having that, that everybody needs to have that time, even every day, you know, like where you, for example, sit and recite the Quran, where you maybe memorize, where you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do your morning supplications, your evening supplications, you know, you have to have that time. And when you've done that, it doesn't have to be in the morning. Some people, it might not work out for you at Fajr. Like maybe for you, it's you put your kids to bed and you have that time at night. But there's got to be some time in your day that you schedule in, that's your time to just, you know, connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just calm yourself down and reflect on Allah's creations and do dhikr and these things. And you'll find that when you do that, number one of the things you get out of that is, you know, subhanAllah, you find that it really de-stresses you, because you're having that time for yourself. Because I think the thing that, you know, really builds up resentment with sisters and women and everyone is not having time for yourself. When you go to bed every night and feel like all I've done is given to everybody else and there's been nothing for me, I haven't achieved anything for myself today, you know, you get really resentful. So it's really important that if you know that you go to bed and think, well, wait a minute, I had that time at Fajr when I was reciting Quran, I memorized a page of the Quran or whatever, I did something for myself. You know, that's what gives you that feeling of satisfaction, that, you know, you've achieved something, you could say, concrete for yourself, but you've also had some time out. Like when my kids were really small, you know, when my kids were really young, I always used to make time for myself. Like, subhanAllah, what I used to do, my me time was actually my seeking knowledge time, or, you know, memorizing the Quran time. So what I would do is, like, so my kids would have like a nap at, say, 10 o'clock in the morning. That was my time. I'd go and I'd you know, revise Quran, memorize Quran, or, you know, learn Arabic or whatever, you know, I would make that time. And then because when they wake up later on, I feel like I've given to myself. So I felt happy and I felt more enthusiastic to, you know, carry out my role with my family, with my husband, because I know that I've done something for myself. So that's, you know, this is what I'm talking about. So, you know, you need to have that time, like I said, the quiet time to, you know, reflection and also to uplift your iman. You need to keep feeding, like, iman, you know, as we know, like, iman is some, you know, iman increases and decreases. If we're not nourishing our iman, if we're not continually making a conscious effort to refuel, basically what happens is the iman just goes down. So like I was saying, so prayers and finding time for yourself. Look, people say they haven't got time, but you know what? The amazing thing is, if we were to cut out a few hours of the social media, we would suddenly find we have an amazing amount of time. Like, the social media is taking up so much of our time, you know, Facebook and whatever else we do on our phones, like, it's just eating away at our time, which we, you know, you actually get very stressed on the phone. Like, I have times where I just completely put my phone away. I don't even touch it. I go out and I just spend some quality time with my family and I refuse to take my phone with me because, you know, the more we get connected with the phone, you actually get very stressed. It actually really increases stress and it's burning up so much of your time. So if you could just think about, like, putting that phone away and just making sure that you're giving to yourself in a quality way. The other thing is, besides that, you know, I think it's really important for sisters to have a weekly halaqah that they attend. you know, a weekly class. They have to try to fit this in. Now, a lot of sisters say, I haven't got time. But the amazing thing, they have all this time in the world to go to the supermarket and, you know, they're at the shopping centres so much. They're out of the house, you know, shopping, like going for specials and, you know, all this stuff. Like, of course, we have to go do our shopping. But what I'm trying to say is, like, we spend a lot of time at the shops, more than we probably need to, okay? And we haven't even got 1 hour in our week to go to a lesson, you know? And a lot of sisters are doing a lot, you know, they're doing a lot of things that is a lot of extra things that they don't really need to do, okay? So what I really believe in is that, you know, women have to also learn to sort of cut corners a little bit more. Like, a lot of sisters put a lot of, they have a mentality where I have to do this and I have to do that. But in reality, you don't actually have to do those things. Like, some sisters are so, like, you could say OCD with their cleaning, you know, like they have to polish everything, you know, every single day, and, you know, vacuum. They have to, you know, they have to do all these extra things that their husband doesn't even care about. And so by the time he comes back, she's so grumpy because she hasn't done anything for herself, you know, and she spent the whole day is just spent on household, you know, things that she thinks she needs to do. Like, some sisters, they feel like they have to bath their child, every child, like five kids, every single night they have to bath them. You know, like, there's a lot of things we do, a lot of things we place in ourselves. We don't actually really need to do those things. If you really ask yourself, you don't really need to do all that. Like, I'm sure that you could find just 1 hour in your week at least to attend a lesson, to refuel your iman. If you, well, okay, some people may be in situations, they've got very small children and they feel sensitive about, you know, going to a lesson and disturbing, but there's also online classes. I mean, but I personally prefer sisters, you know, go out and be with other sisters, because, you know, having that, environment around you, feeling the strength of your sisters around you, I think that's something that, you know, really does help you to refuel your iman a lot more than if you're just sitting at home listening to a lecture on YouTube. I don't think that is, it doesn't have the same effect as physically coming to a lesson and, you know, feeling your sisters with you. So that's some of the things that I can basically, you know, mention. But, I mean, sisters who are single, who work, I mean, they really have to make sure, like, you know, when you're working, when you're a working sister and you're constantly, you know, out of the house five days a week, they're working full time, they in particular also need to find a weekly lesson where they can just, you know, slow down and reflect and reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refuel their iman to be able to get through, you know, their week. So yeah, that's what I could basically, I mean, that's some of the, I've got probably a lot more I could say, but let's just, you know.
There's some extremely valuable points there, and you're absolutely right about the human connection, because we've lost a lot of human connection. We've become very isolated as families because we don't have extended family and community around us like in the past. We get caught up with connecting with people just through social media, as you mentioned, and learning through digital classes, that we've actually really reduced the amount of human contact that we have, and that's having a psychological effect on sisters, because you need to have that human connection. And when we have a psychological breakdown, then you do have a spiritual breakdown too, because all of those aspects of your life need to be well balanced. And so you're absolutely right, actually physically going and meeting with the sisters and having that connection is really important. It also is that weekly reminder, you know, that we're here to worship Allah, not to be caught up in the dunya. And if we don't have something that we're regularly committed to, because YouTube's there all the time, so it's always like, oh, well, I can do that tomorrow. But when it's a class that's on at a specific time, it makes us have to attend. It's that moment each week where it's like, our reminder. And that's why, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Jummah prayer compulsory on the brothers, you know, so that the Jummah prayer on Friday, so that once a week you've got that community gathering, that opportunity to bring the community together and build cohesion in the community. So as sisters, we need that cohesion as well, inshallah. So yeah, brilliant, brilliant point. So I'm just thinking of those sisters. And especially, you know, especially because there's many sisters, for instance, that have grown up in families where perhaps they don't practice the deen very strictly. It's not really a very knowledgeable environment. And so they haven't actually felt what it feels like to feel very connected to God, feel that spiritual way. And I thought it might be helpful for them, given that we're talking about making time for worship, for them to understand the importance of that, to understand that maybe the way they're feeling right now is actually related to that lack of connection to their religion and their practice of the deen. And just wondered if you could talk about that a little bit, because if you haven't experienced it, you don't know what you're looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think most people can understand that if you're not connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens is that you basically become a lot more concerned with the things of the dunya. Okay, you're not thinking about things in the larger scale. And that makes it difficult for you. For example, if you're going through trials, you can't put things into perspective because you're not thinking about the akhirah. You're not looking at your trial in perspective of the bigger picture. You know. Also, if you've got to do all these mundane tasks of housework or raising children, we all know how exhausting that is. But when you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is you wake up basically in the morning with a purpose. Every morning you wake up and you feel happiness in your heart, subhanAllah, because you've been refueling your iman. So you wake up with the feeling of halawat al-iman, like the sweetness of iman in your heart. And and it's so much, like, for example, you know, your husband tries to argue with you or something like that, or your children test you, but because you've always got the bigger picture in your mind, you're able to respond in a different way because you know Allah is watching you. So you're basically motivated to deal with everyone with ihsan, you know, to deal with ihsan. Like, what is ihsan? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, and ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu wa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. Like, to worship Allah as if you see him, and if you don't see him, then he sees you. So that's not just for prayers. That's for everything. That's for when we, you know, have beautiful akhlaq and character with our husband, with our children. You know, so when you wake up with a purpose, you know, you know that even if you've got a mundane life that you feel like you're leading, it becomes a beautiful life because you know that, you know, you're raising your children for the sake of Allah. You know that when you're good with your husband, you get rewarded from Allah. You know, like, and you live your life with purpose. That's probably the biggest problem. Like, a lot of sisters feel emptiness. Like, they just feel like, what is this life? All I'm doing is serving. All I'm doing is housework. You know, they feel drained. What am I getting out of this? But when you look, you know, when you're connected with Allah, everything takes on a higher purpose, you know, and that's what gives you, it makes it easy for you to get through all of those things. And like I said, you've got trials, it also helps you to get through those trials because, you know, you're looking at everything in the perspective of the akhirah, that you're going to be rewarded for whatever you're going through. You know, you're getting expiation for your sins. You know, that a trial is a chance for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a mercy from Allah that Allah's sending you this trial that, you know, inshallah, he wants you to get closer to him because, you know, we know that Allah, you know, subhanAllah, he's more merciful to us than our own mothers. So there must be a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me this trial, because from his mercy that he wants me to get close to him, subhanAllah. So you understand? So like I said, you know, that's why if you start to refuel your iman, you start to put yourself in better company, go to lessons and start to awaken yourself with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, refueling your iman and making that conscious effort, like the Quran, we need to connect with the Quran. The Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he tells us, for example, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, like that the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is what, you know, subhanAllah, brings calmness and tranquility into the heart. You know, you won't feel that tranquility if you're away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're not, you know, realize that you need the Quran. Like, Allah doesn't tell us to pray to him or to recite the Quran for himself. It's for us. We need this. Allah sent the Quran because it is a medicine for us. It's a medicine for our hearts. It gives us calmness. You know, it takes the fear out of our heart, you know, if we're worried about things. SubhanAllah, everything that you're going through, sadness, subhanAllah, you've got to connect with the Quran so that you can take these different emotions, inshallah, you know, because it reminds you of the bigger picture always. That's what the Quran is basically doing whenever you recite it.
So you'd say to those sisters that are listening to this and realizing, okay, there is something missing in my life, and it has been this connection with Allah, it's this worship of Allah. They may or may not have been praying. Even if they were praying, they might have felt really distracted and not really understanding the purpose of it. That step one is go and join a class. Just start your journey of seeking knowledge, that it's through that that you'll gradually move step by step closer to Allah, closer to understanding. Is that what you would advise them if they're going, okay, yeah, I want to do this, what do I do?
Well, look, if you're just starting out and you're struggling, you do need to find strong people to motivate you. You're going to need those strong people, so you need to look for good companions, good friends. You really need to put yourself, like, you know, as the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advise us about the musk seller, the good companions, like the musk seller. You need to find those people. You're going to need, so it's like, I always describe it as, you know, when you're starting out and you're struggling, it's like you're in a swimming pool drowning. You know, you need someone who's strong to come and put their hand out to make you strong. But if all your friends around you are like you and they're all like beginners in swimming, you're basically all going to drown together, you know. So you've really got to look for strong people who can motivate you and keep you on track. Like, I know when I was first reverted, I was living at home with my family. You know, the one thing I made sure I did, I made sure, no matter, even if it was an hour and a half drive to the nearest lesson, I made sure I was at that lesson every Saturday. You know, and I, whenever I was feeling a bit weak, I would call someone who I knew was strong and I would talk to them and just, you know, revive myself and keep that. You have to look for ways to keep yourself afloat, you could basically say. And you can't do it on your own. Like the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that, you know, like the stray sheep is easily taken by the wolf. You know, what is the wolf? The wolf is a shaitan. You know, you cannot hope to be strong in your iman and strong in your faith if you're not sticking with the strong sisters that can keep you, you know, on track. And if you're on your own, just staying in your house all alone, you're just basically easy prey for one. May Allah protect us.
Yeah.
So Tawbah as well, you know, Tawbah, you know, repenting, like even if you feel like your heart is just so hard, you know, from being away from Allah, just say astaghfirullah, start doing dhikr and try to soften your heart through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. This is really beneficial as well, inshallah.
And there's nothing beats crying into your prayer mat in sujood, is there?
Yeah, absolutely, inshallah. Like, we know, subhanAllah, because you don't realize all those things, you know, you feel like you're so far away from Allah. The best thing you can do is just cry to Allah and ask him, ya Allah, guide me, forgive me. You know, subhanAllah, let someone go astray. As long as you're seeking, you know, you have to put your hand out to Allah first. You have to make that one little tiny step. It just takes one little tiny step towards Allah. And as we know, there's that narration that talks about, you know, when you come to Allah by a handspan, he comes to you by an arm's length. You know, so it's just a matter of taking that one tiny step towards Allah Azza wa Jal, that inshallah, like, this is what opens the doors for you to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah.
Inshallah. And I know that you're a very modest person, but I want to share this because I think it really helps other sisters be hopeful. And they can obviously read your biography below the video. But you're a born and bred Aussie like myself who embraced Islam at some point in life. You haven't grown up in a Muslim environment. And the fact that you can recite Quran and rattle off hadith in Arabic to us just like that comes from the fact that you have just studied your deen one day after another day, just being dedicated to it. It's not like you come from an Arabic background. It's not natural to you. It's something you've had to work on. I wanted to share that, not to brag about you because I don't want you to spoil your Akira, yeah, but to motivate sisters to understand that it is very possible when you put your mind to it, and that you're the perfect example of that.
Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, improve us all, inshallah, and keep us firm upon the straight path, inshallah, ya Rab.
Ameen, yeah. Ameen. And one day, just make dua, inshallah, I can speak Arabic like you too. I've done years and years of studying Arabic, and it's in my head, but it certainly doesn't come off my tongue yet. But alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps a lot if you live in the Arabic environment for a while. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Inshallah, one day.
Inshallah.
I think today's talk has been extremely valuable. I mean, even for myself, who is somebody who has, you know, from the day I embraced Islam, always felt a really strong connection with Allah. Even today, listening to you, it's kind of reminded me of this, you know, things that where I'm falling short, where I could go and improve. And I hope, inshallah, every sister who's listening to this will gain benefit from it and just make the steps. Don't set big steps, just make tiny steps forward, because as you said, you just have to go one small step and Allah is going to come a big step for you. So just don't overwhelm yourself with this big picture. Just take the first step. Yeah. You know, whether that's to ring the local Islamic center or mosque and find out what the women's groups are there and just go. You know, just break the fear and just go, because maybe that's where you'll find those companions that are going to be the strong companions that help you, because you're not going to find them in the circles that you're currently in if they're not there already. So, yeah, just take steps and just do it, inshallah. So, jazakallah khair. It's really awesome message. So you help sisters online, and I'd love for you to share how you do that and how they can connect with you if sisters want to seek advice from you.
Okay, so basically, you know, my two main missions for me is, one of my main missions in life is trying to motivate sisters to become stronger in their deen. Now, I give obviously a lot of local talks, but now I'm starting to upload some of my lectures on YouTube, so you can check it out under Jamal Ad-Din, my YouTube channel. But I've also now set up this year, just recently set up a Facebook page. I'm trying to also strengthen sisters through the posts. I only really post one or two posts a day. Again, my Facebook page is Jamal Ad-Din. So I, even with that, I'm just trying to always, you know, share something that I feel can uplift sisters. That's really one of my main missions. My second main mission is basically to, you know, empower sisters through sharing knowledge with them. You know, like I get a lot of sisters asking me, obviously I get the normal questions about, like, they're worried about their menstruation and, you know, different questions on that. Besides that, you know, sometimes people give some advice when it comes to marital issues, and they want to know the Islamic rulings. Like, would, for example, would hula in their case be acceptable, for example? So, you know, I give advice to sisters about those kind of issues. Alhamdulillah, I did manage, alhamdulillah, min fadlillah, to study fiqh. And I've tried to concentrate especially on the female issues, you know, when it comes to the rulings on menstruation, nifas, which is, you know, the afterbirth, postpartum, you know, bleeding. And also I've tried to focus, you know, on divorce and marriage issues, you know, the fiqh rulings on those, so that I can, inshallah, because I realized with my you know, with my role in dawah and in teaching, that this is the main thing that sisters really need. And as you know, that sometimes the sheikhs are not that accessible, you know, like it's not always easy to get hold of the sheikhs. And sisters often feel very embarrassed. There are certain things that happen, like, I've had sisters approach me. Sometimes their husbands are doing un-Islamic acts with them in the bedroom. And how can you ask a sheikh about that? You know? So people have different private issues that it's very hard for a sister to approach a sheikh, a male sheikh, and ask them, you know, the rulings on particular issues in their life. So that's why I started the Facebook page, so that I could, you know, inshallah, be there for sisters if they need to get advice. And I do my best to, you know, inshallah, if, you know, it's an issue of, like, they need, it's a mental health issue. I have different, you know, avenues that I, you know, I obviously refer them to the professionals according to the need of the sister. So that's basically what I'm doing, inshallah, at the moment. Yeah, for my online activities.
And that's sort of such an important role, because it's not just that imams or sheikhs are inaccessible. They're much more inaccessible to sisters, because the brothers get access to them at the prayer time. And then you've also got language barriers, because many of the imams don't speak the language, especially if you're only an English speaker. So there's a lot of barriers to women getting that good advice. And of course, then of course, you really don't want to talk about menstrual issues with a man. It's like they don't actually quite get how it works, and sometimes give you some really strange advice.
Yeah, definitely.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. So it's such an important role that you're playing, and Jazakallah Khair, Allah you abundant reward for being there for sisters. And they can contact you via the Facebook page, which is linked to the button below this video. So if they want to find your page directly, they just need to click on the button and it'll take them right through to that page, and they'll be able to see what you do there and contact you through that page, inshallah.
Inshallah, Ya Rab.
So Jazakallah Khair, it's been a privilege to have you here, and certainly a very important message, and I really I'm so grateful that you made the time to be here with us today. Jazakallah Khair.
You're welcome. I just want to just finish up by mentioning an ayah, like Allah Ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Hashr, He tells us, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those people who forgot Allah, and He caused them to forget themselves. So if we really care about ourselves, we'll be thinking, we'll be connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, what does Allah tell us in Surah Abasa? He tells us, لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِيهِ. That on Yawm al-Qiyamah, everybody be only worried about their own self, about how to save themselves. So we have to worry about Yawm al-Qiyamah. We have to be making time for ourselves to work every day and plant for our akhirah, inshallah. So as I said, if we really care about ourselves, we have to make time, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah.
Inshallah, such a perfect note to end on, especially with the theme of the summit. So putting ourselves first all means not above Allah, but putting our relationship with Allah first and foremost before anything else.
If we really care about ourselves, we will connect with Allah as much as we can, inshallah.
Beautiful, beautiful point to end in. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fiki.